Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I want to talk about this message today, this thought, I'm not powerless. And maybe, you know, maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you're here for the 20th time, and maybe you've got different backgrounds, and maybe, you know, you've been to different kinds of churches or heard different theology or different teaching. And even as you sit in this room, maybe this whole thought, Pentecost Sunday, what does it mean? What is it? What is the Holy Spirit? What even is Pentecost? Well, we understand that when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to leave you a helper. I'm going to leave you an advocate. I'm going to leave you the Ruah, the breath of God, an advocate who would testify of me and of my behalf. And so today we call it Pentecost Sunday. It's actually a reference all the way back to the Old Testament. You'll discover that Pentecost was actually a Jewish feast. And it was an incredible Jewish feast. And that word Pentecost is actually the Greek name for it. But the Jews actually called it the Feast of Harvest. It was a celebration of first fruits. And so they would celebrate the harvest. Now, I don't know, is there any bread lovers in the room? Anyone that just loves bread? You guys love bread. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. The message today is not about loving bread, right? It's not about putting some lure pack on some bread and going to town on it. But today, we celebrate this because it's a reflection of what actually happened on Pentecost. So as the believers were gathered together for this Jewish celebration, we're told that the early church was sparked. Revival was sparked because of what happened. And what happened was a descension or a falling down of the Holy Spirit on different people in an upper room. Jesus put a command to the followers. He said, hey, you know, take it or leave it, you guys, but whoever wants to learn about me, whoever wants to follow my ways, I need you to wait for a helper. I need you to wait for an advocate in an upper room so you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll be filled in power. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The strange thing occurred and drew a large crowd, and Peter stood up to speak to them about repentance and the good news of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2. And from then on, we see that the early church was born, and some 3,000 people in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, is told that were added to the kingdom of God that day. And so today, as Christians, we still celebrate Pentecost Sunday because of the Holy Spirit's work, because of what he did on that day. And it's not just a book or a story to reflect on and look at and think, oh, that's great, that's awesome, that was a story back then. It's a reflection of our personal lives to apply and step into today and right now. Theologian John Gill said this: through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, the apostles became more knowing and had a greater understanding of the mysteries of the gospel. And then they were more qualified to preach it to people of all nations and languages. You know, that statement, like they were qualified, it's funny, right? Because how many times in life, I don't know about you, do we feel unqualified? Well, John Gill puts it pretty simply in the Word of God in Acts chapter 2, was a testimony to this, that the disciples were qualified to preach about the mysteries of the gospel because of the fact that the Holy Spirit had given them that knowledge. Because the Holy Spirit had exposed them to that truth. That's why Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. He will purify your hearts. He will show you the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. In Genesis chapter 1, when mankind was created, God said, Let us make man in our own image. He was talking about God the Father, the Spirit of God that hovered over the earth, and his Son, Jesus Christ, who in the Gospels of John, we're told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. It's this representation of the Trinity of our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3, 16 to 17, Jesus has been baptized. And it says that as he was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. The Holy Spirit of God descended like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we're told, and from that point on, the ministry of Jesus Christ begins. I love that. From that point on, when the Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus, when the Holy Spirit fills you up, when the Holy Spirit provides alignment, when the Holy Spirit provides encouragement, when there is a fresh infilling of your life, I really believe that that's when true ministry can begin. I really believe that that's when true purpose can begin to start being stepped out. Yes, you can do it before that, but the true definition of the purpose and calling of God is found, because when I look at anyone to model my life off, it's the life of Jesus Christ. And it says that his ministry started from this moment. And you know the time that Christians were most persecuted? Wasn't even in the Old Testament. Wasn't in a, you know, maybe a period of silence. Wasn't when Jesus was even around. It wasn't even straight after Jesus had died and rose again. The most immense time of persecution for the early church was actually after the Holy Spirit fell and the early church started. Why? Because religion hates the Holy Spirit. You see, they can, you know, we can kind of, religion can kind of put up with Jesus because they're like, well, you know, it was kind of deity made flesh. They can kind of make some reasons behind it. They can even make some reasons or, you know, kind of tolerate God because every religion has a God. But how do you put the Holy Spirit in a box? Like how do you box up breath? How do you describe the unseen? I mean, you can't see it. You can't see the composition of it, but you can see the effects of it. The religion gets a bit uncomfortable about it. And maybe that's why sometimes believers get a little bit uncomfortable about the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's why sometimes people, when you speak to them, get a little bit, like, Gareth, I can handle the blessing and we can talk about prayer. You know, we can talk about kind of finances and all that kind of stuff. We can talk about God being a provider. Oh, I love that song. I love when we sing about that song. You know, Jireh, our provider. You know, I love all that stuff. But, well, with the Holy Spirit, that's just a bit out there for me. You know what I'm saying? That's for the crazies, you know. The Bible is pretty clear that you can't say, I love God, but not love the Holy Spirit. Same person. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, it says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, you heard it from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore to the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know. Jump down to verse 8, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me to Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I love that passage. I love the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, when the early church is formed and when God's people are told to unite, to come together, to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, and then to start and walk out in ministry. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, does a few of those things. Number one, he comes to reveal Jesus to us. That's why Jesus said in John 15, 26, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit comes, who I'll send to you from the Father, he'll come to testify of yourself. No, to testify of your friends. No, he's come to testify of me. And in John 16, verse 8, he says, and when he, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's a nod of the hat, really, to, or a tip of the hat, really, to the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm here to help purify people's hearts. I'm here to do some heart surgery with people. And as we read in Acts chapter 1, verse number 3 and point 4, to unify the church and to empower God's people for advancement. I love it. They came together in one accord. You know, they weren't worrying about what the government was doing at the time. I'm sure that would have been playing on some of their minds, the threat of persecution. They weren't worried about what's happening in the outside world. What are we going to eat next? What are we going to do next? Where are we going to go? How's the stock market going? What's happening today? What happened yesterday? You know, who likes me? Who doesn't like me? They weren't worried about all that stuff. The Bible says they were gathered together for one accord, and that was under the discipleship and correction and teaching of Jesus Christ when he said, do one thing and do it well, wait. So they said, well, if we're going to do anything right now, we're going to gather in unity around the words of Jesus Christ to wait for the Holy Spirit and be filled with that power. You know, we see a lot of things going on in our world and a lot of injustice, and you don't need to look for too long on the news to see there's a lot of crazy things going on in our world these days. And it can be easy to sit back and say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do. I don't know. I feel so powerless. Has anyone ever said that when looking at something, a situation in your life? I feel just so powerless. Well, as we read just then in the book of Acts, Jesus says, I need you to wait to receive power when the Holy Spirit shall fall on you. And he knew that the disciples would be worried about everything else. What's going to happen? When's the kingdom going to be restored? When are you going to come back? Jesus, what's going on? He says, all that stuff is secondary. The primary purpose here is you to wait for the Holy Spirit, because when you do that, you will then be filled with power to be able to overcome all the other obstacles in life. The Greek word for power is this word, dunamis. And it's a reference in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the Bible is very clear that you and I, every single one of us, is filled with this power of God. And when we see this word power referred to in the New Testament context, it's a reference to not your power alone. It's always a reference to the power of God at work within you to give Him all the glory, to give Him all the praise. It's used 10 times in the book of Acts and the apostles, and it always refers to God's power, miracles, signs, and wonders. It never refers to our own strength, because if it was left us to us, how many people know we wouldn't stand a chance? Come on, we wouldn't stand a chance. But thank God that He left us with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that Christ has given us that position of authority, stewardship, and dominion. You know, I really believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit, He's a difference maker. Like, He's your point of difference. He is your secret weapon. That's why Jesus didn't mess around with words. In John 16, it says, it's to your advantage that I go. Like, don't be sad that I'm about to leave. I have to leave because it's to your advantage that I leave you with the Helper. I love that. Because listen, we can feel great. You know, we could maybe read a book or listen to a podcast. Or all those teaching tools are fantastic and necessary for our Christian walk. But man, there's nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit at work in a believer's life. There's nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit at work in a believer's life. There's nothing like a church walking out in the giftings and callings and passions that the Holy Spirit has put on their heart. There's nothing like a church that's running and awake and isn't asleep to see the kingdom of God advance through the Spirit of God. You know, this year I've been trying to read a lot and study a lot of great revivals and great awakenings that have happened. But along the way, I've seen a lot that have never really fully sprouted because of a couple of things. Number one, there's been a few great awakenings that were in its infant stages that never really took off. And for a few of them, the Holy Spirit was obviously moving at the start. But what had happened was people started to kind of wield around the Holy Spirit like an axe, like a tool to kind of get things done, to see results, to see outcomes. And there was no real yielding to the Spirit of God in their everyday lives. And as a result, the Holy Spirit could minister, because the Holy Spirit isn't just limited by people, and God loves His people so much. But there was a limitation placed on the Holy Spirit because of that. And you know, as much as the Holy Spirit is here to empower us for kingdom advancement through His power, it's also the power of the Holy Spirit which enables us to have those quiet moments, to have those moments of self-reflection, to have those moments where you say, Holy Spirit, You alone right now, just do heart surgery on me to correct my heart, see where I'm at. Because it takes great power to see miracles. It takes great power to see signs and wonders, and all those things are necessary to see the fruits of the Spirit of God in our lives. But just like those things, it also takes great power to be still before the King, to be still in the presence of God, to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our lives. Bill Johnson says this, there's nothing of the eternal that I can produce through my own effort, but everything is available if I yield to Him. You know, in John chapter 7, Jesus is speaking, and the Son of God says this, whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who had believed him were to receive. But as of yet, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Rivers of living water, a reference to the Holy Spirit. And at times, this verse has been so convicting and so challenging in my own life. Rivers of living water. Am I being a conduit for the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can flow through me? Rivers of living water, or am I just full of stagnant, old, stale water, you know? Because Ezekiel 47, the prophet Ezekiel says this. He says, this will be an unpleasant outcome if water doesn't flow in and flow out. It says, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. It's this unpleasantness, unpleasant outcome of a marsh or a swamp where there clearly is a flow in, but there's not a flow out. We need to be as intentional in letting the Holy Spirit flow from us as we are of letting Him flow into us. Listen, I love being saturated by the presence of God. I love spending time in His Word. I love prayer. I love acknowledging the Holy Spirit and that intimate moments. All those things are so, so, so important to all us believers. But there needs to be a flow in and a flow out. There needs to be an acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit in all areas of my life. I know You're a helper. I know You're for me. I know You're an advocate. So right now, would You speak? Would You minister? Would You give me guidance in this area of my life? I've been reading this great book recently, something I've picked up after a few years, and it's a simple thought of acknowledging the Holy Spirit in each and everything that you do in your life. And it's a simple line this book kind of mentions, which is, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," and it says this: instead of waking up in the morning and kind of, you know, we're a good morning social media kind of generation. Good morning coffee, or, you know, good morning weather, good morning work emails, you know, all that kind of stuff. What about good morning, Holy Spirit? What about good morning? What do You have for me today, Holy Spirit? I might not be feeling the best right now. I might not be feeling crash hot. I might not even have it all together. But good morning, Holy Spirit. What do You want to do today? What do You want to say today? Would You give me eyes to see and ears to hear? You know, when I first started, preaching and at this very campus after being in kids ministry and young adults for a while, I remember the first couple of times I got up, I would just stand by the side, and I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was before the very first time I ever got up on stage, on the stage here at Belmont. And the Holy Spirit, I was kind of flicking through all my notes. I was trying to remember things. I was like, this has got to be good. It's got to be perfect, all that kind of stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, son, present me. I'll present the rest. And from that moment on, I'm telling you, from that moment on, you, if you've been in the room for any amount of time, you'll usually know that before I get up to share, I'll often pray, Holy Spirit, that he that has an ear to hear what the Word of God says, that he who has an eye to see what You want to see. It's an acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I can say whatever I want, but Holy Spirit, You alone have the power to minister to people. Holy Spirit, You alone have the power to heal broken hearts. Holy Spirit, You alone have the power to convict and change hearts. I've just got words. That's maybe what Paul understood. Sorry, as the band joins me. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5, he's speaking to a church who have become reliant on him. They've wanted the power of Paul as opposed to the power of the Holy Spirit. So they've gone to him, there's been issues, there's been things I needed to deal with. And he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he doesn't say that I was with you when things were going well, when I was feeling great, when I was joyous, when I had heaps of strength. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was incredible. It was amazing. But he says, it wasn't persuasive with words of human wisdom, but it was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There it is again. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That did me good, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. If you can take anything away from today and from a celebration and a reflection of Pentecost Sunday, let it be this, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Sometime in the last couple of weeks, I met someone, you know, totally by divine appointment. Wasn't meant to meet them. In a totally random place where we would never have met normally, and chatted to each other, and they had to really leave quickly. So they explained about a financial situation and something they had to do and accomplish in a very short amount of time. And when I saw them straight away, the Holy Spirit just said, hey, just pray for them. So I was like, oh. I said, hey, do you have time? And they were like, I've just got it. Literally 30 seconds, I've got to leave. I said, cool. Father, bless them. Open up the door in this area, and there was a specific area they needed it provided for. Amen. I said, love you, and walked away. It would have been a prayer of about 30 seconds, nothing longer. Didn't need half an hour, didn't need an hour. It's just... And I was like, Holy Spirit, like, is that it? You know, like, you told me to do it. I didn't really feel anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't... They didn't look like they were encouraged by the prayer, you know? So I just went about my day, and they left the car park. And 2 nights ago, I get a call, and, you know, I'm putting the kids to bed, so I don't usually take calls. And just felt to take this one, and so I take it. He's like, hey, I'm so sorry to call you this time of night, but I've just got to tell you something crazy. So, you know, you said that prayer for me? And I was like, yeah, yeah. So, well, like, as I was leaving the car park, I got a call, and it was for a specific amount of provision. And as he left the car park, before he could hit the street, totally random person called him and said, hey, I just want to chat to you. I don't want any terms, conditions, whatever. I just want to give you that specific amount into your bank account, and we'll let the rest take care of itself later on. And he said, I just don't know why, but I feel to encourage you with it that, like, you know, what you did really helped out. And this isn't about me or the fact that the prayer was super cool or incredible or amazing, whatever. It's about a reality that we get the opportunity to live out and make a choice for each and every day of our life. And that's, will we be obedient to the Holy Spirit? Will we allow Him to move in our each and everyday lives? And will we yield to Him in every single season of our lives? Because sometimes it doesn't feel good. And sometimes it doesn't feel sexy. And sometimes it feels like you've got it all wrong. And sometimes it feels like, I don't even know if I can do this. I don't even know if I have it all together. Maybe that's why Paul, when speaking to the church at Corinth, says, hey, stop coming to me for every little thing, because you think I've got the answers and I've got the power. No, 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 no. The power that I want to present to you is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that I want to present to you is the power to set captives free, to heal broken hearts, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the power that I want to leave you with. Don't look to me. Look to the Spirit of God. Don't look to me. Look to the power at work inside each and every one of you. That your faith should not be in me. It shouldn't be in mankind, but it should be in the power of God. I've got weaknesses like you. I've got shortfalls like you. I've got times where I'm fearful, trembling. But nevertheless, I'm determined to see a demonstration of His power. And we live in an age where power is determined by strength. How refreshing it is that Paul would flip it on its head to say, actually, God's power, the Spirit of God's power is just as good, even when I'm weak. Even when I'm messed up, even when I'm scared, even when things look bleak, even when that health situation doesn't look as promising as I thought it would, even when that job prospect doesn't turn out the way it planned, even when that housing situation didn't turn out, even when that rental situation didn't go to plan as I thought it would, even though that relationship didn't happen and didn't go the way I wanted to, still His power is at work. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit, is that He's not just informative, He's transformative. Like, He's not just issuing out and barking orders. He'll journey with us. He'll walk with us. His power will be made perfect in our weakness. He'll correct and convict because He loves us. And He doesn't disqualify His power, no matter how old, how young, what you've done, what you will do. His power is still at work within you. It always will be. It always has been. We need to draw upon that power. Because before we see revival, before we see all these great moves of God that happens, I really believe you've got to come back to the upper room. You know? You've got to come back in one accord, uniting around, waiting for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, knowing that when He gets that, everything else that doesn't matter, it burns away. Because that's what the refiner's fire has got a habit of doing. Burning away things that don't matter, refining us, shaping us. And at times it feels like it hurts. But that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to help purify our heart, to point us to Jesus, to activate the church and to empower us for His kingdom. Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet, please, and just bow your head. Close your eyes all across this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We reverence your presence. We honor your presence. Lord Ababa, Shia Ababaka. And we wait on you. And we wait on you. And we wait on you. Thank you that your power is at work in us. Thank you that your power is at work through us. And it's not an earthly kind of power, but it's a supernatural kind of power. And we acknowledge you in this room. You're as real as the very air that we breathe. You are. You're our best friend. You're my best friend. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for testifying of the Christ inside of us. Thank you for pointing us to Jesus. Thank you for purifying our hearts, helping us look eternal. Thank you for streams of living water, a flow in and a flow out, to minister to others, to see you at work in all areas of our lives. To activate our faith by leaning on you, Holy Spirit, by relying on you, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.